There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
An ambassador for the dogs and broadcasting live from Truist Park every day.
All day, every day.
It's time for Bucks Beat with Buck Ballou.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Bucks Beat. On this episode, I take an early look at the season opening showdown between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Clemson Tigers. This epic matchup looms now for the next 4 months. And count on Bucks Beat to give you an early look at this epic matchup. Both teams, I would anticipate, will be ranked in the top five entering the season. And get used to this, Georgia and Clemson will now play six times in the next 14 years. So the rivalry is back on a semi-regular basis, just like it should be. Bulldogs put a wrap on spring practice last Saturday with JT Daniels putting on a show, a really good show, passing for 300-plus and three touchdowns. Todd Monken's offenses threw it 60 times in the scrimmage and for over 600 yards. Heck, even the running backs and tight ends got their hands on the ball in the passing game. White, Milton, Cook, Edwards combined had 22 catches out of the running back position. Reading the tea leaves, something I really love to do, it appears that Coach Kirby Smart is now ready to turn his offense loose and lead with the passing game. And why not? JT Daniels has earned Kirby Smart's trust. Plus, the Bulldogs now feature a multitude of dangerous weapons to target in the passing game. Jermaine Burton, Kyaris Jackson, Demetrius Robertson, to me look like the top three wide receivers, but they go way deeper than that. Arian Smith is dangerous. Adonai Mitchell flashed some serious ball skills on G-Day. Justin Robinson emerged during the spring at the X. In fact, my spirits were lifted during the G-Day pregame when I got to see Dom Blaylock and Rosemee Jack-Saint running routes with the rest of the guys. Looks like both of these guys could be ready by Clemson, it appears. Tight end Darnell Washington looks ready to break out with a huge season. This guy's fit, he's comfortable in the scheme, and he's an absolute beast at 6'8", 270-something pounds. I'd say target him at least 10 times a game, please. I was also impressed with big wide receiver Brock Bowers, another freshman. Now, he's listed as a tight end, I understand that, but he's really a big wide receiver. So that's another big quality target for quarterback JT Daniels. After witnessing G-Day, I now believe this group of receivers, tight ends, and running backs can come close to covering up the loss of go-to receiver George Pickens. Seriously. Heads up, there's no reason to be concerned about the Georgia offensive line. At left tackle, Truss looked improved comparing to the way he played in the bowl game against Cincinnati. Sawyer rep left tackle and left guard. And he handled his business at left tackle last season and is a legitimate option to start at left tackle against Clemson. Shout out. I was also impressed with freshman left tackle Amarius Mims, who looked far more polished than I had imagined him to look as a true freshman. Mims worked with the twos, and man, he was impressive. Good feet, huge frame. Strong and powerful in the run game. Really good sets technically in the passing game. Look out, people. Mims is the next big thing. Now, at right tackle, Warren McClendon and Broderick Jones, they were impressive too. Inside, Sawyer, Tate Ratledge, Schaefer, Webb, Erickson, and Van Pran give Coach Matt Luke an impressive interior depth on that offensive line. I'm now convinced that this O-line is a strength of the team. Now the bad news. My big concern is the cornerback position. Now, one side, I believe they found a cornerback in Amir Speed, the senior. He's been waiting patiently for his opportunity. Comfortable in the scheme, which is very complicated. And a guy that will apparently claim one of these cornerback spots. But on the other side, coming out of spring football, well, that cornerback spot looks to be wide open, and that's a concern. Jalen Kimber looked like the best cover guy out of the young cornerbacks for Georgia, but he's also really, really thin. Keely Ringo, the five-star corner, just didn't look ready yet. Keep coaching him up, please. Maybe the light comes on during the summer. Lavoisier Carroll, former running back turned cornerback. Now, he had some good moments. Plays a little more physical than, say, Kimber, but it looks like he needs more time also. So the guess here is that Coach Smart lures a veteran cornerback into Athens this summer via the transfer market. I just know that if Georgia and Clemson played today, Dabo and offensive coordinator Tony Elliott, they would be attacking on the perimeter opposite Amir Speed, going after whoever it is that starts at that other cornerback position. So you got to get that solved. The rest of the Dogs' defense looks pretty legit to me. Up front, Jalen Carter, very impressive. Played all three defensive line positions during G-Day. Tackle, nose, and end. Look out, this guy's taking a big step forward this season. At inside linebacker, N'Kobe Dean, Quay Walker, and Channing Tindall will be a quality trio inside at linebacker. On the outside, you got Anderson and Smith, and expectations are they better show up big this year. At safety, Lewis Seen is a player. Can really depend and count on him. And I expect transfer Tyke Smith will probably step in at the star position and solidify that, so that's going to help the secondary big time. Again, Amir Speed can hold down one cornerback spot, but the other side right now is a glaring weakness heading into the summer. The 21 Clemson Tigers will feature a new quarterback in DJ Uiagalelei. Big Cinco was 6'5", 250, and appears to possess the most powerful arm in college football. He will also be blessed with a talented receiving core. All these guys look 6'3", 6'4", 200 to 215 pounds. You got Ross and Ngata and Aju and Ladson, Collins, Williams. They're all long, tall, and dangerous. Clemson also features a defensive line that includes some monsters. Miles Murphy and Brian Breezy. Tyler Davis and Xavier Thomas will be a big challenge for this Georgia offensive line. Can Truss handle Murphy? Can Sawyer take care of Breezy? Those are two huge matchups in the game. And who's blocking Skalski? Clemson's rep on defense under Brent Venables is to force a lot of bad plays, blow them up, rack up the tackles for loss, and yet get to the quarterback.
Bucks beat.
Joining me now is William Qualkenbush, and he's a radio sports personality at 105.5 The Roar, the flagship station of the Clemson Tigers, co-host of the Out of Bounds show and the Fifth Quarter show. And, William, we appreciate your time and looking forward to hearing your insight on the Clemson Tigers.
Well, appreciate you guys having me. I'm glad to do it, and looking forward to the matchup between Clemson and Georgia coming up in a few months.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to see a lot of these over the next 10 to 14 years, man. I think it's a game that should be played. But what's the confidence level of the Clemson fans on this huge season opener that now looms out there?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. I think it's very different. There is a level of confidence in the things that Clemson is normally confident in. That's a weird way to say it, but quarterback, I think with DJ Uiagalelei, Clemson feels pretty good about that. I think they feel good about the skill that they have on offense as long as everybody stays healthy. And I think they feel good about the defensive line. Now, there are questions at linebacker, particularly depth. They've got their top line guys back, but behind them there's still some question marks. The secondary was very banged up throughout spring practice. I mean, one of the teams in the orange and white scrimmage, started a walk-on at cornerback. So that was kind of a bummer there because folks wanted to see, and I'm sure the coaches did too, a little more development from those guys. And then the offensive line has really been a point of contention from folks. You know, Have things gotten stale there? Is there enough talent available to even develop them into something? And I think there was some good and bad there. So if I had to rate on a scale of 1 to 10, I would say the average is probably like an 8 overall, but maybe like a 6.5 or 7 because of Georgia looming first.
Is there a lack of respect factor with Georgia? How is the rivalry here viewed from the Clemson side, Clemson and Georgia?
There are so many fans that we talk to, and I wouldn't say I'm quite in this boat, but I understand it, that would actually rather play Georgia than South Carolina. When I was growing up, my grandpa's a Georgia Tech grad, and I went to Clemson. So we kind of got Georgia ire from both ends, so to speak. And so my favorite rival growing up in the Clemson area was Georgia. And I enjoyed when Clemson and Georgia played three or four times when I was growing up. And I love this game. I love this rivalry. And I think Clemson fans do too. And it's interesting because, you know, when South Carolina is good and viable, then I think that's enough for Clemson fans. But the nostalgia of the 1970s and 80s, the battles between Danny Ford and Vince Dooley, I think the nostalgia even for newer Clemson fans of 2013 and 14, the two big games where Clemson was able to win in an electric night atmosphere at home, and then 2014, Deshaun Watson makes his debut. Clemson gets pummeled, but we saw Deshaun for the first time there. I just think it's a game that people expect big things from. You can't say that about the South Carolina rivalry these days. And so I think it's almost like a sight for sore eyes for folks who really want Clemson to have that out-of-conference rival that it really feels like it can match. And if you beat them, there are legitimate bragging rights as opposed to, you know, you're doing things that you're supposed to do. And I think that's what this Georgia game presents.
William, what are the expectations with the Clemson fans on Big Cinco taking over at quarterback? Trevor, you've had a great run with these quarterbacks, Deshaun and Trevor, and now you got Big Cinco stepping in there. And with a little bit I've seen, I've been impressed. So are you expecting to see any drop-off at the quarterback position?
No, not really. Part of it is the health of the receivers has got to be better. I mean, last year you can make the argument that three of the top four receivers that Clemson recruited in the program and then had at some point in time during the preseason just were not available, with Justin Ross and Joe Ngata and Frank Ladson. E.J. Williams emerged. There are going to be better targets, I think, for DJU. But we also saw him in a couple of games. We saw him really come into his own against Boston College with a compromised shoulder that rendered him basically incapable of running the ball. They really didn't use him in the run game all that much against BC until they had too late. And then, of course, Clemson loses the Notre Dame game. It took them an overtime to get it done, but they didn't lose because of quarterback play. They lost because of defensive lapses, you know, and a couple of other issues in the game. But DJ, in coming in, not just after Trevor Lawrence, but in the middle of a Trevor Lawrence season, and then sort of coming back out of the limelight when Trevor returned from his COVID diagnosis, he did it about as well as you could expect. There are some people around the program that think that he may actually have a more projectable and a stronger arm than Trevor, but maybe not quite the athleticism and speed. He's more of a straight line downhill between the tackles runner. When he tucks it, Trevor's a little more explosive and agile. So those are the differences. But in terms of a drop-off, I would expect Clemson's passing game to look very similar. And, in fact, if it's maybe not quite as productive by a hair, I think it may be a little more diverse in the way they use the whole field and the way they use tight ends and backs a little more creatively.
Let me dig into that offensive line concern. Left tackle specifically is Walker Parks, the new left tackle projected to be there. Is he ready to go now?
I think so. He really impressed pretty much everybody that had a say in it last year. He was a guy that was essentially thrust into duty as somebody who just didn't have a lot of time. He didn't come in early. He was a guy that basically played because they didn't have anybody. I mean, they've been very upfront with the fact that not having an offseason really hurt the development. They had a lot of redshirt freshmen and true sophomores in the rotation, had a couple of guys that were out for pretty much all of last year in that second unit. And so it created an opportunity for a guy like Walker Parks. He has a nasty streak to him. He is absolutely tough as nails. He showed himself inside. He showed himself at the right tackle spot last year, played in a pinch at left tackle. That was Jackson Carman's spot a year ago. But I don't think there's really any qualms with him moving over there because of his athleticism and because of the nasty streak. You know, he run blocks a little more like Mitch Hyatt, I felt that Jackson Carman, who was there last year and for the last couple of years, was a little bit of a pass blocker, but Mitch Hyatt really was a road grader at the left tackle spot. He was better at blocking for the run, and I think that's something that Clemson will get back to on the left side with Parks at left tackle this year.
This receiver group, every one of these, 6 to 8 of these guys, and they're all 6'3", 220. So who do you think really breaks out with a big season at receiver for the Tigers?
E.J. Williams is poised. He came from the same program as Justin Ross in Phoenix City, Alabama, and it's a guy that really probably was not ready the first part of last year to be a heavy contributor, but did it, you know, by default, because there was no Ross, there was no Ngata, there was no Latson. We continue to hear great things about Joe Ngata on the practice field, but those practice habits have not translated well into games because of inconsistency in youth and then just a barrage of injuries. And then thirdly, I would point out the leading receiver in the orange and white scrimmage was Ajo. Now, this is a guy who they got from Florida, but he's a native of Canada. He doesn't have a lot of football under his belt. Great size, great frame, super athletic, very, very raw. He's a guy that right now you probably feel good about him running in a straight line on a 9 route and going and catching a vertical downfield. But you're not sure about his route running, not sure about some of that. But in terms of making plays and, you know, allowing your quarterback to throw a guy open and maybe even gloss over a couple of mistakes, he's as good an option as they have in the program right now. He made a couple of fine catches in that spring scrimmage. So I like what Ajo showed. Now he's got to translate that onto the field. It's difficult to do for a guy who still, as I said, has not had a lot of football experience in his life. Those are the candidates, I think, to break out. And then, of course, we're still waiting on full clearance from Justin Ross, who did everything but participate in full contact during the spring. He's still got a couple of doctor's appointments late spring and early summer to try to clear him from his spinal fusion type of situation that he had taken care of last year that caused him to miss all season. If he is back, then it allows those guys to develop more comfortably. If he's not, then they'll have to bring one or more of those guys along a little more quickly.
Now, I was reading, Rubbing the Rock recently, and there was this guy writing about how Clemson's running back position is far better than what Georgia features. And I'm thinking, my goodness, you just lost Travis Etienne. It's got to be a little bit of drop-off at the running back spot.
Well, I understand that argument, but I disagree because I think Georgia's particularly – I mean, I'm a huge fan of Zamir White. I'm a huge fan of McIntosh. I mean, I think that whole room has guys that not only are capable, but they're proven. Clemson's running back room, I think, is deep. And you might say that it's deeper than Georgia's. I think you could make that argument. But what Clemson lacks right now is a true number one. And you have to have a true number one, particularly in the first game of the year. We're talking specifically about the matchup with Georgia here. Lynn J. Dixon is the incumbent starter. But I'm telling you, there are guys nipping at his heels. Kobe Pace is a bigger back. He's a little more like Wayne Gallman, who Clemson had when Deshaun Watson was a quarterback and winning national championships there. He runs a little bit like that. He's built a little more like that than Travis Etienne. Dixon's a little more like Etienne, but he didn't run very hard last year. And I know some of that was offensive line, but Dixon is a very weak incumbent because not only do you have Pace, you have Ches Malusi, who's a little more like Pace. And then you have a guy like Will Shipley, who's coming into the program. He's explosive. He's got Christian McCaffrey comps, and I think it plays. I think that works. He's a guy you can flare out of the backfield to catch the ball. He's a little more of a spurt ability back with some agility there. He's probably going to play. Phil Maffa is another guy that's a freshman, a little more of a big body guy that showed himself capable of competing and earning some reps in the spring. So I think Clemson's depth is there at the running back spot. But in terms of that first game, I don't think we'll see that. So if you're asking me who has a better running back room, I would say definitely Georgia based on the top two or three backs that we're probably going to see. Now, in 2 years, when some of these guys from Clemson, assuming no transfers or anything like that, once some of these guys really mature, we may have a different answer. But right now, I think the answer is Georgia.
All right, let's talk about this Venables defense here. I saw coming out of spring, Dabo calling Breesy an absolute monster coming out of spring practice. Look, and here in Metro Atlanta, we know all about Miles Murphy and what he did freshman All-American season last year. So is this defensive line for Clemson, this is one of the strengths of the team?
It absolutely is, particularly the interior. You mentioned Brian Breesy. I mean, to me, it's the combination of him and Tyler Davis in the middle that really is going to cause problems. Last year, Davis was not 100% for basically the entire year. I think he still was less than 100% in the postseason. He was the most consistent weapon that Clemson had at its disposal on the defensive line last year. Miles Murphy flashed early, and then I think maybe hit a freshman wall a bit, but we saw his potential certainly. I think it showed up less and less as the season went on, but it showed up just about every game. And Brzee, I mean, you go from a guy who's just making, like, hero plays where he's shedding double teams, and then sometimes, you know, his get-off wasn't great, and so he got kind of mauled up front a little bit by Ohio State. There were some setbacks there. So I think he had the proper motivation going into the offseason and the preseason to be able to get in the weight room, get a little bit stronger, get a little more technically sound. And now I think the combination of Davis and Brzee, coupled with some of the guys they brought in, a guy like Trey Williams, who's a developmental guy, Damani Capehart is a developmental guy that are in that second group. They lost two veterans at defensive tackle in Niles Pinckney and Jordan Williams. And the reason is because those guys were seeing their time dwindle. I mean, these are guys that are competitive. They went to Power 5 schools to transfer because there is youth in the pipeline now. And so I think particularly in the interior, it's very, very good. Murphy is an outstanding player. I think he's going to take a huge leap this year. The one X factor is going to be Xavier Thomas. How does Thomas attack the offseason? We know he had issues last year with COVID and asthma and recovering at strep throat. I think being away from campus really hurt him maybe more than some other guys in terms of his ability to get ready. And so he, KJ Henry, former five-star, they got some guys that need to step up on that other end spot. But if somebody does, there's a lot of candidates, then that will be as strong a group as they've had here, especially since the Wilkins and Farrell and Dexter Lawrence defensive line was there.
William, don't try to sell me on Skalski because I'm already on board with this guy being a top-notch player and a leader of that football team. So on the back end of this defense, where are the concerns? Where are the weaknesses?
Well, I think the weaknesses are everywhere because I don't think anybody – it's weird because I don't think anybody really was that concerned in a vacuum with losing Darion Kendrick. The idea of Darion Kendrick on paper was always a little better than what he actually put out on the field in terms of consistency. There was just that hope that – you would see it, and it just never materialized. But that's kind of across the board, where there is a lot of good clay to work with at the cornerback group with Andrew Booth and Fred Davis. Mario Goodrich is in the mix there. I mean, you've got guys, Malcolm Green is in the mix at corner as well. You've got Nate Wiggins, who came in early enrollee, who was outstanding. But nobody has really taken the bull by the horns. Nobody has fully grabbed the reins of either cornerback spot in a consistent way. We've seen Booth make really athletic plays, and we've seen him get burned down the field. We've seen basically great flashes from everybody, but not enough consistency anywhere. And then at safety, there's probably a twofold concern. One, your top line guys just didn't play very well last year. Nolan Turner was in and out of games. He was the most consistent guy. Landon Zanders didn't take the step that people wanted. And so they may be looking around for some more options. Andrew Makuba is a guy that I wanted to see in the spring. He was hurt, but he's a guy that got late in the process out of Texas that they really like, that can man probably the nickel Sam spot in a pinch. He may play a little corner as well, but at the prep ranks, and I think projectably, in terms of projectability, he's projected to be a safety. So it's just finding answers at safety because I think per snap, the secondary was at its weakest point in some years in terms of its effectiveness and consistency under Brent Venables last year. And if you're looking ahead, obviously the year of experience helps, but you'd rather have more solid answers than what they've got right now at those corners and then back at safety alongside Turner.
It is now time for the Big Three.
Let's roll out the Big Three.
William, number one, all-time favorite Clemson Tiger player.
My all-time favorite is Jarvis Jenkins, who played in the NFL because he was a high school teammate of mine. We played basketball together at Daniel High School, and so I'm a big fan of Jarvis. Give me number 99.
All right, number two, give us your best Trevor Lawrence story.
Oh, man. My best Trevor Lawrence story is he was playing an intramural basketball game, and this thing went viral on the internet. He just flat-out shoved the kid. I mean, two hands shoved him. And, like, stood over him and stepped over him. And apparently the kid was talking a lot of smack. But for a guy who really is just not rattled, And also for a guy who's dealing with questions right now about his competitiveness and whether he wants it or not, I would say anybody who has questions, just go back and find that clip of him just flat out shoving this scrawny kid on the intramural basketball court for getting a little mouthy.
Number three. All right, this one's a little outside the box here. I'm pulling a question out of a hat. It's all crumpled up. Oh, this is going to be easy for you. The best part of your job is?
The best part of my job is getting to be where fans are in 2021, hopefully, calling games. That is my favorite thing to do. I do a little play-by-play on the network, and it's been a blast calling baseball this year, women's basketball. I did a little men's basketball. I get to do post-game football. Being where people are, Clemson fans, and getting to interact with them on game day and then getting to bring the game to them is my favorite part of my job.
We're living the life, William. Living the good life.
It's truly a dream. It's truly a dream. I'm very blessed.
Keep up the good work. We appreciate the Clemson insight.
Thanks very much. Always good to be on with you guys.
William, thanks so much for your time, man. I so appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime. Let me know.
Bucks beat.
Clemson and Georgia to open the 2021 season. Man, that's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see it. Now there's some key matchups up front. Sawyer taking on Breezy. Can't wait to see that one. And the NFL scouts are going to be lined up to check that one out too. Miles Murphy and Xavier Truss. Now that one concerns me. Flip it around. Walker Parks, the left tackle for Clemson, taking on Trayvon Walker. Trayvon, it's time to be a difference maker. And it is true, the Tigers' wide receiver core really is impressive. So Georgia better get the cornerback position solidified quickly over the summer. One more priority for Georgia. Venable's scheme is all about creating negative plays. So Monken and Coach Luke better have a strong protection plan for JT Daniels. You can't protect JT in the season opening game. I just can't see a scenario where you win. I changed it up this week. Man, we were on a run with all these Hall of Famers coming on as guests. This time we took a little deeper dive into the subject matter. Thanks for listening to Bucks Beat. Remember to like and subscribe. You can find Bucks Beat wherever it is you find your podcast, or you can find it at thepodcastpark.com.
Subscribe to Bucks Beat and get the latest updates every week from the most connected guys in Georgia sports. Follow Buck at BuckBaloo8 on Twitter and check out all the fan podcasts at thepodcastpark.com.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you? 3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.